From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. It's a rough time in the newspaper business. Circulations are shrinking, along with newsroom staffs. At many papers, the top priority is propping up profits. That's not the case, though, in Anniston, Alabama, about a 90-minute drive west of Atlanta. Anniston is home to The Star, a small daily that packs an outsized punch. As NPR's David Folkenflik reports, the family that has owned The Star for nearly a century is quietly planning to devote the paper's profits to training new generations of reporters.
Robbie, you want me to label those for you?
Yeah.
Let's see what we got here.
Robert Downing owns a general store in downtown Anniston and runs it with his three children.
We sell seed, bulk garden seed, you know, in the buckets around here, beans and peas and corn. We probably got 150 different varieties of bulk.
People drop by to stock up and talk about just about anything, from the Army Depot up the road to the local churches to sad news about old friends.
He came in the store every week. I see him in the store, and I saw him in the obituaries this morning.
Is it David Bird?
I think so.
By 7 to 5,
yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The paper is the Anniston Star. Downing's a county commissioner. His late wife used to be an editor at the Star, and he says people react strongly to the paper.
I guess it's either loved or hated. Vehemently hated or tremendously loved by everybody in the community. It's been the backbone of the community, really, in many ways. And they're not afraid to step out there. Traditionally, they haven't been, and take positions that are unpopular. They're a good newspaper.
A few blocks away at the Chamber of Commerce, officials sometimes grumble about the paper's liberal editorial stances. But Chamber President Sherry Sumner says the man who leads the Star commands their respect.
Well, you know, he is unmistakably Brandy. Everyone knows him. He always stands his ground, and despite criticism, he moves forward and does the right thing.
Brandy is, well, let him tell it.
My name is Harry Brandt Ayers. I was born into the newspaper business, and so I've made my way in the ruthless struggle of life with only the talents of nepotism and monopoly.
Maybe so, but under his leadership, the Star was judged to be one of the country's best by Time Magazine and the Columbia Journalism Review.
You know, Dad's philosophy was that a newspaper should be the attorney for the most defenseless. And that's on the flag of our editorial page every day. We regard that not as a slogan, but as a philosophy. And we follow that.
The paper has a circulation of just 27,000, but under Ayers, it fights above its weight class. It campaigned for racial desegregation at a time when much of Alabama was brawling to keep it out. It's uncovered corruption and pollution and kept its staff twice as large as the industry consultants suggest. In 1985, on his father's birthday, Ayers wrote a front-page editorial. Ayers promised his dead father he would never sell the paper to outside interests. A newspaper broker told Ayers he could get $50 million for the company.
So you don't give the $30 or $50 million much thought?
Not a second thought. Being a really rich man is a bore.
But Ayers' daughter didn't want to run the newspaper, and the publisher, now 70, decided to do something big. He had seen what had happened in Louisville to his friend Barry Bingham, who sold the Courier-Journal and watched it shrivel as the Gannett Company demanded greater profits. The Star has long served as a training ground for aspiring journalists. Rick Bragg and Jim Yardley went on to win Pulitzers at the New York Times. Others graduated to the Chicago Tribune and the Wall Street Journal. And Ayers told Chris Waddell, a longtime editor at the paper, he wanted to build on that record.
Brandy wanted the good result of the family newspaper remaining the local voice in perpetuity. And he had a kind of a shorthand way of saying it, which is he believed he would just give the newspaper to the University of Alabama. And the deans and officers of the university got very excited. And several of us who are close to Brandy said, you know, he's speaking metaphorically, not literally.
Waddell suggested the university could create a graduate program in journalism that would be based at the Star itself. The Ayers family created a not-for-profit foundation. Over time, the holdings of the Ayers family and the publishing company will be turned over to that trust. The company's earnings will be used to run the paper, and its dividends will help pay the cost of teaching the students. The Knight Foundation has kicked in $1.5 million. Waddell has held pretty much every senior editorial post at the Star. He became president of the trust, and now he's a professor at the university, too.
Speaking of personalities, Chris, would you answer the professor's point that oxymoron, meaning a contradiction of terms, no longer exists, that editors don't crusade?
I really think they do.
Starting next fall, Waddell will be teaching a version of that class to half a dozen graduate students in Anniston instead of to juniors and seniors 2 hours west at the university campus in Tuscaloosa. Ultimately, it'll be a dozen students reporting and learning in the newsroom. They won't have to pay tuition, and they'll receive modest monthly stipends plus a bonus to subsidize a job hunt. Culpepper Clark is dean of the School of Communications at Alabama. He says the plan was inspired by the training medical students get in teaching hospitals.
What began to germinate among us, and I probably used that term first, but was this notion of a teaching newspaper, whereby the students would be residents inside a campus that is a working newspaper.
And Ayers is ecstatic.
To me, this is a hell of a lot more fun than deciding which spa or which resort we're going to go to next.
Very, very few American papers are owned by not-for-profit companies. There's a paper in Tupelo, Mississippi that uses its money to encourage regional development. The St. Petersburg Times in Florida is controlled by the Poynter Institute, a professional training center. But there's nothing quite like this. Ayers says he's driven by his own paper's tradition and by watching budgets and aspirations being squeezed at newspapers owned by the Knight Ridder, Gannett, and Tribune companies.
What we want to do is we want a great newspaper, and we want this school to really add something to our craft, and we want to make enough money to make that happen. And that's what drives us. That's what we want. We're not going to say you got to bump the 20% profits up to 35 next year.
A lot of people in Anniston say the paper is a central part of their lives. Brandy Ayers has gone to a lot of trouble and passed up a lot of money to make sure it stays that way. David Folkenflik, NPR News.
You can hear more from the Star's publisher, Harry Brandt Ayers, including a story about his run-in with former Alabama Governor George Wallace, at npr.org.